Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from VBSR is underwritten in part by The Alchemist, serving the greater Waterbury community and Vermont since 2003. The University of Vermont Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. National Life Group, which lives its values every day to do good, be good, make good. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, and ski erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as Salvation Farms, moving surplus foods from farms to those who need it. By Green Mountain Power, partnering with customers on energy innovation while delivering clean, reliable, and cost-effective power. And Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development, as well as over 750 Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility members. Here is David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. On Monday, Governor Peter Shumlin cut the ribbon on the new state office complex in Waterbury that rose up out of the ruins of the former state complex that was flooded and partly destroyed after Tropical Storm Irene in 2011. As visitors enter the new building, one of the first things they will see is a striking mural on the wall that rises up a stairway from the first to the second floor. The mural tells the story of Vermont, and also of the former Vermont State Hospital that stood on the grounds of the state complex for over a century. The mural was created by Sarah Lee Tourette. She is one of Vermont's leading public artists. For over 30 years, Sarah Lee Tourette has created original environmental pieces and worked on art collections for corporations, community organizations, and other places. She was chosen in 2001 to design the Vermont State Quarter, which was part of a series of national state coins. Her iconic, brightly colored murals can be seen all around Vermont and the country. Her bright, fantastical artwork can be seen at the Vermont Children's Hospital, in the floors of Energy Systems in Hinesburg, in the children's bedrooms in the homes of Phish musicians Trey Anastasio and Mike Gordon, on the walls of Arvod's restaurant in Waterbury, and at the Bonnaroo Music Festival in Tennessee that's held every year. In 2015, Sarah Lee Tourette received a $50,000 Arts in Public Buildings grant from the Vermont Arts Council for the mural project in the Vermont State Office Complex. And we're lucky this week to have Sarah Lee Tourette with us in the studio. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you. Thanks, David.
So let's start with this mural that just is getting its first public viewing. How did this come about, that you came to be the artist for the new state complex?
Well, the Vermont Arts Council has to put a certain amount of, a certain percentage of each new public building into art. This is kind of a national thing. Every state has their own value they associate with that. And so I've applied for one before, maybe two, and been a finalist, but this time I became one of five finalists. And so I was very excited to get it.
So this, you took a very unique approach to this project, which I gather you've been working on for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
What was it you felt you needed to convey in this mural?
I think that the most important thing I heard when I became a finalist just through my credentials, that you didn't have to present a project to them to become a finalist. You had to present yourself and your experience. And I heard from the committee that was looking at my credentials and announced that I was one of the finalists that they encouraged us to convey a sense of place, a sense of history. And I had a little bit of an advantage over some of the other artists because I was deeply aware of the history of the hospital. I've had a lot of experience. I used to teach at the women's prison on location, and I've been living in Waterbury for 30 years, but I took that and I really felt like that would be the heart of whatever I did. And I didn't know what I was going to do. It took me a little while to dig up a plan, but that would be important.
So you've described to me your process. You have spent a good deal of time in the last 2 years going into the state archives to find the records of the former patients of the Vermont State Hospital. Mm-hmm. What did you find, and why did you choose this approach?
I went into the state archives. I called the state archivist David Sheets and his assistant Tracy Martin at the time, and I was looking for anything to dig in and find something to build on. And I was actually looking, asking them if there were any objects left over that I could collage onto a wall, like nurses' and doctors' uniforms or Johnny's, and I could paint on top of that. It wasn't subject matter that I was looking for because I didn't know what was available. So so David was really helpful, and Tracy was, and they said that those objects were mostly destroyed by Irene, and that my best bet, if I'm looking for something, is to go to the state archives, which house the state hospital archives in Middlesex, and just begin to search through the files. There are a lot of documents. So that's where I began. And the first document box that I ordered up, which I couldn't resist, was labeled Creative Works by Psychiatric Patients. And wow, that's it wasn't a big collection, but it was pretty fascinating. And the first file I opened was Gene Killery, who was a patient during the 40s and the 50s. And there was just one little book inside this file, a little red book printed. And it was a book of her poetry, and it was just beautiful, simple, beautiful poetry. It struck me immediately, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it, but I know I wanted it. So I took it up to the archivist and, said, I want a copy of this, because I'm going to use it somehow. And she said, nope, you got to get permission from a family member. And we looked up the death records of the poet, Jean, to make sure she wasn't around. And so I had to find a family member. So that was quite a project.
How did you find a surviving family member?
I took various tracks. I went on Ancestry.com, and I found the family name in Vermont, and I found that the family seems to be quite scattered, and I just took down all the names under the name Killery that I could find, and I went on Facebook, and I sent out letters, and I went on LinkedIn, and our representative Tom Stevens happened to have some sort of connection. He didn't know personally Jean's nephew, John Killery, but knew there was a connection, so that I had to be introduced so that I could approach John Killery with my request for his permission to use this poem. And so Tom connected us, and it took...
What did John Killery say when you found him? And what did he say about his aunt?
He didn't answer right away. He answered 2 weeks before my presentation was due to this committee. So this was... I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, but I didn't really want to do anything else. But so John got back to me and emailed me and said he apologized for not answering, and he said Aunt Jean would be tickled pink if she knew. And he said that she was wonderful, that she was a psychiatric patient. She had her battles, her demons to battle, I would say, but he said she was wonderful, and she was prolific poetry writer, and he knew this poem, and he had this little red book, a copy of it, and he lost it in a flood in Barrie. There was a flood a year before Irene, mm-hmm, that affected, yeah, Barrie much more deeply, and he lost that. So he was all excited that I'd found a copy of it, and he said, I'm so excited. He was wonderful. He said, I just want to keep in touch with you and hear how it's going.
Can you recite the poem?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask that. It's so short, and I have such a bad memory. No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry. You'll have to go to the site. It's etched in granite below the mural. I'll leave that as a mystery.
You're listening to Vermont Conversation. We're talking in this half hour to Sarah Lee Turat, the public artist, who her most recent creation is a new mural at the new state office complex. Later in the show today, we're going to be talking to Duncan McDougall, the founder and director of the Children's Literacy Foundation, and Mark Redmond, the director of Spectrum Youth and Family Services. But back to our conversation with Sarah Lee. So the mural is very moving and very extraordinary because it captures first a very familiar image to Vermonters, a birch forest. Mm-hmm. But woven into the forest are images, faces peer out at you of former patients and staff members from the hospital, and even hospital records of care of patients, but also policies having to do with forced sterilization of patients in the 1930s.
Eugenics.
What were you trying to do? Why did you take that approach?
Right. There are certain things I wasn't allowed to present, and I understand that completely. I couldn't include patient names, any personal patient records. I don't know who has access to that, but what I really wanted to do was to kind of build a visual story about the hospital and its relationship to the community of Waterbury through people's lives, through images of people, some known, some anonymous, all the way back to 1891 when the hospital first became part of Waterbury's community. So, Waterbury's always hosted this hospital, and it's been a complicated relationship. So it's not just about the patients. It's not just about the staff. There's a lot of pictures of doctors and their families and nurses and volunteers and events from the community. But Waterbury's always been, it's a tough relationship. But they've always been gracious, I think. I've known people in the generation above me. I'm almost 60, and some of them are gone now who worked in the hospital. Some people are still around that recover very clearly, when the hospital was active. And its history also follows the history of other psychiatric hospitals throughout the nation. So the things that they did trying to care for their patients seem dark to us now. Some of them are horrifying, actually.
Like
eugenics,
lobotomies
and
electroshock therapy.
Yeah, and water therapy, that they'd be immersed in these tanks of water for long periods of time, hot water. We're horrified now, but I think they always meant to do right. Some of the things morally at that time seemed right, and now they don't. But all that is really interesting. I didn't want the mural to be all dark or all Walt Disney, neither. It had to be a complex. It's kind of like it's two layers, but the photo layer of documents and photos is kind of like a quilt. It's like this big sepia-toned quilt of all these things that together tell you a story.
Now, you're a visual artist, and yet you went just about every week of the last 2 years to spend in the Vermont State Archives. What was that like? What kinds of things surprised you that you found in there?
Everything surprised me. I went through books and microfiche and boxes of files, and I was overwhelmed at first. I went in there, and there was so much material that I had to start making lists of what I would find in the next visit, that I didn't have time for this time. And they were very patient with me, and actually the staff was wonderful, and they got really excited as time went on. Because they hadn't seen, people come in there for land agreement things, and they come in there for historical research sometimes, and people come in to find their families, deceased family members in history. But they seldom have a project like this to help somebody with. And they were great. They were really great.
Now, part of the story, and just, you know, the brief arc of the story is that the Vermont State Hospital, founded in 1891,
yeah,
its peak of population was almost 2,000 patients in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And then began the era of deinstitutionalization when psychiatric drugs were coming online that were making it possible for people with serious mental illnesses to live in, you know, not in an institution, mm-hmm. but on their own.
Group homes and private homes.
So that by the time the hospital was flooded and closed in 2011, they were down to about, 50 patients?
Under 100, yeah. Yeah. Only the people who were dangerous to themselves or other people.
And part of the complicated story here with the state mm-hmm. hospital, both in Vermont and elsewhere, is that it was not just people with mental illnesses who were sent there.
Right.
Who
right.
else was sent to the hospital?
I think that people who were inconvenient to their families, or people who had maladies that now we have names for. We know much more about them. I'm thinking of different versions of autism. I did some art in NRG systems in, as you mentioned, in Hinesburg. And a lot of the art I bought from Grace, which is an organization out of Hardwick that helps anybody and everybody do artwork. They supply art supplies, and they work with human services organizations in Chittenden County and all over. Wonderful organization, been around for more than 30 years. And they had an artist named Larry Bissonette, who amazing artist, but he's my age. He's 58, 59 now, alive and well. And he didn't speak his entire life. He's autistic. I don't know what his spectrum exactly is. But he was put through institutions all his life, including Waterbury, just kind of pressed down, you know, and we don't know what to do with him, whatever. So finally, when he was, I don't know how old, at least 50, not long ago, his sister convinced them that she could take care of him and took him out of the hospital. He was given a typing machine, like a digital typing machine. Nobody had ever done that for him before. Well, it turns out that Larry, he's a brilliant artist. That's how I know him. I collected his art for NRG's collection and framed it, and there's a lot of pieces hanging in their center, in their corporate headquarters. But it turns out that Larry's brilliant. He's funny. He's been listening for years. He's amazing. And that's an example of somebody who, like Jean Killery, has a soul. She's aware of the environment around her, and it's not always easy to find that. But my mural, I really, if there's any takeaway, people can interpret it any way they want. I would want them to recognize that a lot of the people that were in the hospital had another side, a less obvious side, you know, a less problematic side, a creative soul, you
right.
know.
Well, and a lot of people who were sent to state institutions included people who were gay and lesbian,
right,
included
black.
People with African-American,
right.
People with drinking problems,
mm-hmm.
All the things that, you know, from the vantage point that we have now, it's...
Don't fit in, or are inconvenient, or there's a moral thing, you know, where they don't fit in, you know.
So how did you get your start as an artist?
Well, Sonny, I won't tell you what I used to draw on the walls with when I was a baby, and my mother had to move the crib away from the wall because I used the only medium available. I'm not going to say what that
okay.
But that's the family story. And in college, I used to do wall paintings. I did them for my cousins and my my family. My mother let me paint murals on the walls at home. In college, I got in trouble for painting on, you know, walls, but not you know, not nasty stuff, just people asked me, oh, in my dorm room, why don't you paint on the wall, you know. I'd never been able to get away from it. I love painting. I love working large. I love working with architectural elements and taking each one separately, each each piece, I take into account the scale, and which on this one was really big.
Really?
I'm lucky to have that room. It takes that room to take in that mural.
How do you characterize yourself as an artist?
I'm not a specialist because I, you know, as you mentioned, do a lot of different things, and that's partially to make a living as an artist in Vermont. It's not easy. Any artist would tell you that. So you kind of have to either specialize very closely on one thing or do a lot of different things, and I really enjoy doing a lot of things and working with a lot of different people. I even design pet toys, you know. It's weird. I have a kid's book out with my brother Doug Wilhelm called Treasure Town that just came out, and we just picked up a publisher.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Well, I guess when I look at your art, to me, some of the signature Sara Lee Turrett things are bright colors, fantastical images, and fantasy generally. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wonder if you think of those as your signatures.
Yeah. I think, you know, I stretch myself. I try to push my own envelope to address different, you know, situations if I'm commissioned to do something. But yeah, I think that, you know, I guess the best art teacher I ever had in college said, let go of what you think your thing is. And if it really is your thing, it'll come back to you, you know, as you go through your life as an artist. Those things keep coming back to me, you know.
And you were an early artist for Ben & Jerry's, is that right?
Yeah, one of the... Well, Lynn Severance really determined their style, and she's a wonderful Burlington designer. And she left for a while, and they had one artist, and I came to Vermont for a vacation in February 1985. You know, a very cold vacation for me from New York City. And my brother saw this little ad in the back of the Times Argus, like a little want ad, looking for a designer. And he goes, this company is really interesting. You'd really... And I was tired of... I'd done a decade of freelancing in New York. I was 29. And he said, just go apply. And I didn't have any nice clothes or anything. And I just had something that I was working on for a children's museum in Staten Island that was with me because I was working on it. No portfolio or anything. And we clicked, and they hired me, and I worked there for 12 years, something like that.
And then you designed all their scoop shops, right?
I did that. I was their environmental designer as time went by. So I did all their scoop shops, including Russia. Those in Russia.
Well, in the minute or two we have left here, what is your advice? You also are a teacher. You've been an artist in residence in various places, including Crossed Brook Middle School. What's your advice to young artists who...
I do some mentoring with young artists, and I'd say don't decide exactly what you want to do. If you're interested in art, go ahead and explore it and explore all types of art before you zero in on what your style is or what you're going to do exactly. And you know, you never know what's going to feed into that. I think over the years, doing different things, like when Irene struck, I was low on work, the economy was down, and your lovely wife, Sue Minter, hired me to work for the Irene Recovery group in Montpelier. And I didn't know what I was doing, but it led to other artwork about the flood and working with the community, and it led me to meet people all over the state. I was basically trying to collect volunteers and help organize projects for her. So you never know.
You never know
what'll feed your art or what'll feed you into the community with your art. So,
well, we've been talking with Sara Lee Turrett, one of Vermont's leading public artists. You can see a sample of her art at her website, Yellow Dog Design. That's YELODogDesign.com. And most importantly, you can see her most current piece at the new Vermont State Office Complex in Waterbury, a mural that is on the wall. Sara Lee, thanks so much for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.